Hi, I'm Chris Basden, and you're listening to part two of our three-part JFA podcast with independent recruiter Beth Burke. If you missed part one, check out our archive podcast on Podomatic.
So we're talking about some interpersonal issues here, some interpersonal communication type issues. What are some of the mistakes that people make when they're interviewing on the phone?
On the phone, okay. So when they're making, when they're doing a telephone interview, there's a lot of mistakes that I see being made, and one of my little pet peeves is making an appointment with me and then not being available or being timely when I go to call or they're supposed to call me. And then if they do get around to finally calling, whether it's, you know, 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, 20 minutes later in the day, they don't apologize for not being available. That's one of my pet peeves, and I would assume that any other interviewer, if somebody gets on the phone and doesn't apologize for why they weren't available when they said they would be available, I don't think that makes a good impression. Another area where I believe is not following up to doing what you say you're going to do. If, for instance, if during the telephone interview you had asked for some information about the company, and they ask you, and you know, hopefully the interviewer, hiring manager, or recruiter will get back to you with that information on a timely basis. However, if you're asked to give additional information to answer a question, or you said you were, let's say you had some upcoming vacation plans or some training, and that was important for the interviewer to know. Overall, if you don't get back and do what you say you're going to do, I think, again, it goes back to viewing people's behaviors. Do they do what they say they're going to do? Even if you can't get the information when you promised you'd get back the information, you should follow up with either a voicemail or an email indicating that you know you said you'd get back to somebody with the answers at this point in time. You don't have the answers just yet, and then give them another time frame where you hope to get the information back to them, and it should be fine. I'll give you an example of something that happened to me, and I reached out to this CPA recently, who name sounded familiar, but I couldn't remember whether we had spoken and when, because I do speak with a lot of people and some names sort of familiar. But when he wrote me back, he basically said that we spoke and I suggested a couple changes to his resume to update it, etc. I was getting ready to go on vacation and he was in the middle of applying for other jobs. So I guess he felt, you know, I'm good to go. I'm probably going to get something. I don't really need to follow up with this recruiter. And then when a month went by and he didn't get the type of job he was seeking, he didn't respond back to me because he thought it was too late. So now here I am, you know, months later, or 8 months later, reaching out to him again. And he's got a good background. I hope hopefully I may be able to find him something. But already it's given me some insight into his lack of follow through of doing what he said he's going to do. So I think people make a mental note of that if they have a good memory like I do about people. And I tend to remember these things and wonder if they do this during the interview process while they're interviewing on the phone or applying for a job, what are they going to do on the job in terms of their actual productivity and how they ended up following through with the work that is given to them. Also, we sort of talked about this a little bit before, is taking a call or scheduling a call when they're unable to talk freely, where they end up almost whispering or lowering their voice, or they're standing in an area where there's poor reception or loud background noises. A lot of times if people work in a city environment and there's no conference room for them to go into, they'll go out onto the street sometimes to take a phone call, and there's street traffic in the background. Some people work from home and there's dogs barking. Some people will take a phone call sometimes, or they'll schedule an interview. I've had this happen to me before when they're on Amtrak heading to New York or in a car with another person. So I think all those in terms of speaking on the phone don't really show proper respect to the interviewer or hiring manager, that they're really taking the whole process very seriously and they want to make sure that they're giving you their undivided attention. Another couple of things that happens too when you're talking on the phone is talking too fast, or possibly even too slow, where there are a lot of lulls in the conversation. Many times, professionals don't tend to answer the question, or they have too long-winded answers of the question as well, versus just, you know, answering the question directly and then finding out whether the interviewer wants additional information and then going on to share additional details related to that answer. I've also seen times where the professional doesn't have their phone charged sufficiently for the interview and it goes dead. They may be talking too far away from the mouthpiece or possibly too close. Another area where I think a lot of professionals get caught off guard, and you wouldn't think they would, is not being able to explain why they left a job or why the job left them. That's definitely something people should be prepared to talk about. Even if they left the job on their own free will, I would assume that most recruiters, similar to myself, will ask you why you left a job to get a sense of what is it about a particular role didn't work for you or wasn't challenging enough, and things along those lines. Talking about gaps on your resume is really important, too. And one thing to pay attention to is your tone. You don't want to come across as being arrogant or condescending to the professional, especially if you're being screened by possibly somebody who may be in HR and may not be an accountant if you're applying for a high-level accounting role. Again, it's similar to the recruiter. They're all part of the process. I think people do pay attention and talk amongst themselves as to how people came across when it comes time to tone and, you know, whether the person was likable or not.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned talking about a former employer. That's always a tricky situation because, you know, you may have left the job because you didn't get along with your former boss, or maybe the company or organization was doing something that, you know, maybe it didn't treat its employees that well, or maybe it was doing something that you didn't personally agree with. Maybe there were ethics issues involved, but you don't want to come across as negative towards your former employer. So how do you handle a situation like that, where maybe there was something that you really didn't like quite a bit about your former job, but you still want to come off as a positive person? How do you handle those questions about why you left?
I think that's a great question. I think that's an area where a lot of professionals tend to have challenges in terms of what to say and what not to say. In general, no different than your resume or face-to-face interview or telephone interview, I try to guide people to stick to the facts. Now, mind you, sometimes the facts don't come across as a positive way for the professional seeking the job. However, if they can state it in a way that is factual, and again, I'm big on verifying information, even if it's a negative situation that happens, it's very possible that maybe the company has had a lot of turnover of late, and due to, for various reasons, and I'm not going to go into the various reasons that could happen, but I think it's okay to state things that happened to you, especially if there's an ethical situation, and without getting into all the facts necessarily related to the ethical situation, unless it's something that can be disclosed in a way without being disparaging to a person or the company. There's ways of stating it, such as I was in a situation where I was asked to compromise on my ethics, and I prefer not to go into the details at this point, but I just felt far more comfortable leaving without another job, for instance, or that I, because of why I was asked to do certain things and I wouldn't do it, I believe that is why I was let go. So there's ways of telling the story without giving away all the details that may be proprietary to the situation. Maybe there's a legal investigation going on, et cetera. I think it's important to be honest with yourself and about the situation as well. If you didn't get along too well with, say, your immediate supervisor, then I would describe that person's personality from your perspective without being overly disparaging and using big adjectives. But if your manager was a bit of a workaholic and, say, worked 60, 70, 80 hours a week or 7 days a week, and when you interviewed there, you were told there would be some overtime, but not a lot, and you state that, your boss is there all the time and they expect you to be there 7 days a week, I think those facts in and of itself tells a story as to why you might not be on the same page with your boss if your boss is expecting you to behave the same way they do. So you I would say take a step back and look at it as objectively as you can to describe your situation, to be able to tell a story that is factual, but still comes across as not making you look in a way that somebody else would not want to hire you. Does that make sense?
It does. So if you do a good job on your phone interview, sometimes you'll get called into the office to do an in-person interview. Can you talk a little bit about mistakes you've seen people make when they do in-person interviews?
Okay. So when you're going for the face-to-face interview, similar to the telephone interview, is showing up late and not calling. You know, when I prep somebody for an interview, I always give them the telephone number of how to best reach the hiring professional or the person they're interviewing with, even if it's their cell phone, to make sure that in case there's a problem, they run late, they can't get parking, they can't get into the building. I think it's really important that one should call if they plan on being late. Even if you're only 5 or 10 minutes late, it's always best to call, because I think how you treat the interviewer is going to be similar to how they think you're going to perform on the job, especially in public accounting when you're dealing with clients. You don't want to be late showing up at your client meetings as well. Another area sort of goes along the behavioral is when you're too nervous or fidgety. Sometimes people tap their feet, they have their hands in their pockets, maybe there's jangling coins in their pockets or keys, or they're constantly moving their feet, crossing, uncrossing their legs. Women sometimes will twirl their hair. I think you need to be aware of your body language and what you do when you're nervous. And if you are nervous and you move your hands and feet a lot, you should sit in a way that, let's say, with your feet planted on the floor, with your legs aren't crossed, maybe your hands are flat on the top of your thighs, you know, just kind of sitting there, you know, sitting up straight and tall, and you know, smiling, of course, when you're talking. And just be aware of your body language. You don't want to come across as not being able to sit still, so to speak. Similarly, is not having good eye contact. You want to make sure when you're talking to the people involved in the interview, and these days a lot of times you might be meeting more than one person, is to make sure you're moving from person to person and you're not maybe just focusing on one person if there's three or four or two others sitting there as well. Negative body language is not great either. And what I mean by negative body language, it could be having crossed arms folded across your chest. Now, sometimes people will do that when they're cold. Hopefully that's not the situation while you're interviewing, but just be aware of negative body language, such as, you know, your arms folded across your chest. Another area, too, that you don't want to be, you want to be aware of, is to your tone of voice. You don't want to appear as being either negative, defensive, or angry. I find a lot of times if people have been let go of a job, whether it be through a downsizing or, you know, of cause or whatever the reason, or they have other things going on, that they're not in their best place to be interviewing, they'll go on interviews anyway, and then they come across as maybe being angry because they were let go, or they, you know, they've been looking for a job for a while, or they get defensive if somebody asks them questions about why they left their job, et cetera. So be aware of your tone of voice. And if you're not sure of some of these things, such as the body language or tone of voice or eye contact, or if you're too fidgety and nervous, maybe you should practice doing some interviewing with somebody's judgment who you trust and kind of do a mock interview and ask them to please tell you these things or videotape you possibly, so you could see for yourself on where you can potentially improve in these areas and come across as a more confident, interviewer. Another area, I guess, related to the voice is if you're too low or too loud. If you tend to talk down, where you're not looking up and speaking, and you're enunciating your words, somebody may not be able to hear you. There are some people who have very low voices, and the opposite, there's some people who have very loud voices. So, you know, again, if you're not quite sure, have somebody videotape you or have a friend or a peer do some mock interviewing with you and make sure you're not doing some of these things. One area I'd like to point out, my dad always used to tell me this, so I guess I'm a little more sensitive to it. I used to say like this, like when you're describing something, just the word like or you know. I don't know what you call those things in, from a grammatical standpoint, but be aware when you're talking that you're sticking to the sentences. There could be a slight low, and once in a while to say like, or there's a complete lull altogether, that's fine. But if you're constantly doing that versus answering the question, somebody may pick up on that and may think that's how you communicate. And if you need to put you in front of executives or the clients, that may or may not go over too well, depending on whoever's interviewing you. Another area is not dressing appropriately. This is a big area. I do find most of my clients, especially if professionals coming straight from work or going straight to work, most of the time they do not mind if somebody comes dressed business casual. However, I usually will ask ahead of time to make sure that's okay so my client is aware of it. Obviously, if you're not going through a recruiter, you should ask that yourself if wearing a suit is just either too telltaling because you're going right back to work or you're leaving from work and you can't leave it in a car, especially if you travel by metro. Like I said, most employers don't really care, but you should ask ahead of time if it's okay to come in business casual. Some firms and companies do expect a more formal attire, so you'll have to time it accordingly to make sure that you can wear that suit if necessary and tie for the men to make sure you're viewed in the appropriate way that you'd like to be viewed. However, if in general you don't like to wear suits and it's a more formal environment, maybe that's not a good place to work to begin with for you. Also, make sure that you don't have too much cologne on or perfume for the ladies, that your clothes aren't wrinkled, that they fit. Make sure they fit well, that they're not too big or too small. Ladies, not too much jewelry. And in general, make sure your shoes are appropriate for the attire that you're wearing too. Also, one thing I've heard about at times, and it's really in poor form, is where somebody may park in a meter on the street and then have to leave the interview early to go feed the meter versus having found a parking lot somewhere and just parking for an unlimited amount of time. So those are some areas I believe that are important to pay attention to when you're going face-to-face on interviews, and a lot of it has to be having to do with appearance and communication and tone of voice. One thing that came up once from one of my candidates, and I was quite shocked, the HR professional told me about this, is they didn't have a printer at home, and they brought the application in a thumb drive and asked the HR professional to print off the application versus stopping at a FedEx or somewhere where they could have printed it out or, you know, gone to a friend's house or something to print it out and bring it themselves. So think about if you were interviewing somebody and some of the behavioral things you may have, mistakes you may have made yourself that you realize or you've heard from other people. And if you were interviewing people, what would you think about some of these things? I think you can look at it from that perspective. Hopefully you'll make far less mistakes than you would have otherwise.
Thanks for listening to part two of our JFA podcast with independent recruiter Beth Burke. For parts one and three, check out our archive podcasts on Podomatic.